First Timothy chapter 1. Last Sunday morning, we preached on the Sunday night on verses 11 and verse number 12. And I said, as we're preaching through the book of First Timothy, it's a letter to a young man entering the ministry. It's giving him guidance on issues and areas that he must and will deal with as a minister of the gospel. It is instructions for him, how to keep him in the way of God, the Word of God, and the will of God. In chapter 3 and verse 15 is the theme of the book, where it tells you how, said that thou know, that thou oughtest to know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, the church. And we're not just talking about inside this building, how we ought to behave as Christian people, as part of the church of the living God, not just a building or a location, but the body of Christ. Now we said last week, we there verse number 11, we preached on the glorious gospel. Amen. Now, Bob Chadwell is not here. Somebody's going to have to fill in for him this morning. Thank you, Lil. That was kind of weak, but it was there. I said, Bob Chadwell is not here. Somebody's going to have to fill in for him this morning. All right, let's wake up out there. Larry Long, it's your turn, amen, right now. Amen! I'll tell you what, you got to get the devil out of this place. And that's exactly right. Let him know. Don't let him sit there on your lap. Jump up every while and knock him off if you have to. But we've got a glorious gospel, amen? We've got a glorious gospel because we've got a glorious Savior. We've got a glorious Father. We've got a glorious book, amen? We've got a glorious gospel that'll take us where? To glory. Then we said it's a glorious gospel of a blessed God. And we preached on that. A blessed, blessed God. Bless the Lord, what? Oh, my soul. And all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And then we preached something very serious. He said that glorious gospel of the blessed God was what? Committed to my trust. We said that God entrusts people with stuff, and we better take that seriously. Amen. I'm telling you. And then we said last Sunday night that part of the requirements to be in the ministry is to have a thankful heart. He said, I thank Christ Jesus. You know what? God will use you if you have a thankful heart. It don't hurt to say thank you. It don't hurt to say I appreciate that. And then we said, there's three things that God does for a man that goes into ministry. First of all, He enables him. You can't do it. You can't do it. God has to enable you. Then we said the next thing, He counted him faithful. It's amazing to me that God would count us faithful. But God, what God says what counts, amen? It's not what you think, not what they think, not what somebody else thinks. You may think you're a failure, but if God counts you faithful, that's what counts. It's not in man's sight, it's in God's sight that what counts. And I'm glad that He counts us faithful. Then we said, and then I also said that it's His faithfulness in us. That's why He can count us faithful. But then the third thing was that He put us into the ministry. We don't put ourselves into the ministry. Mama don't put us into the ministry. Papa don't put us into the ministry. Other people don't put us into the ministry. God puts a man in the ministry. Now, we're going to preach on verses 13 and 14. We're going to preach about 3 hours and roll out of here. Amen. Here we go. Now, we said, Lord, we need Your help this morning. We can't do nothing without You. Without You, we can do nothing. Lord, I thank You for the message that You've given me, and I'm fired up, ready to roll, and I'm happy in the Lord. And God, I appreciate it. But Lord, I need Your help. Lord, unless the Holy Ghost preaches on the inward of hearts and minds, Lord, what I do on the outward won't amount to a hill of beans. And so, Lord, I pray that You'd help me to preach. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Put the unction of God upon me. And Lord, I pray, help us have a good time around the Word of God, and save those that are lost here today. God, these people here today need to be saved. Lord, they're going to go to hell, right? Lord, they're going to die and go to hell if they don't get saved, born again of the Spirit of God. And I pray that You'll save them today. I pray they'll see Jesus Christ and see the cross of Calvary and see the empty tomb and see their sins was laid on Him at that cross. And I pray, God, today they'll repent of their sins. They'll get honest with You. And God, bring them to Yourself, I pray. Lord, we love You today. And thank You so much for all that You've done, Lord, for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I want to preach this morning just on it. We're just grazing through the Bible. In verse number 13, it says, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious? But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, right there in that verse number 13, the first three words, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the greatest requirements to serve God whether you're in the ministry or whether you're just out there on a job, you better get that first three words of that verse down if you're going to be used of God in your life. There's something the Apostle Paul teaches us here that I believe is absolutely critical and essential to effective ministry. You want to have a real testimony to people? Don't you go around acting like and putting on the front of how holy and good and sweet and nice that you are and sinless. Amen. You admit what you were when God found you. Paul said in verse number 13, look at it, who was what? Before. And I'm going to preach on before for a little while and then I'm going to preach on afterwards. Alrighty? Now Paul said, he tells them, he writes a book for the whole world to read. What a sorry, low-down, wicked, worthless, hell-deserving rascal he was before God got him. He doesn't write there and talk about that he came down with wings on his back and halos over his head and God's using him to win everybody to Jesus. He says, I'm going to tell you about the Apostle Paul. He was a man who stood by Stephen when he was, and held it, clothed him while they killed him and rocked him to death. He said, I'm a man who is as religious as a billy goat, mean as hell itself, and would kill you. And he said, that's the kind of people that God saves and God redeems. I'm talking about this morning, that one of the greatest and most needed requirements for effective ministry and effective, vital, real Christianity in your daily life is get this thing down in your heart and mind. Don't ever deny or hide or ignore what you were, or in other words, forget the pit that God dug you out of. Donnie told you the truth this morning. We said the best tool you've got to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ is your own testimony. But if in your own testimony you project that I've always been sweet, I've always been holy, I never did anything to deserve hell, I'm just a nice person and God liked me so well He put me into ministry. That's nonsense. You'll never be worth a plug nickel to God with that attitude. You say, what do you mean that? An acknowledgement of who and what we really were and are. In Psalms 51:6, David said in his great penitential prayer to God, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Are you listening? God, there's one thing God requires. You're here today and you're lost. Let me tell you something. You ain't never going to get saved till you quit Mickey Mousing about who you really are. You are a wicked, sorry, hellish, hell-deserving sinner, an enmity with God, and you need to be reconciled to God, and the only way for you to be reconciled is through the blood of Jesus Christ. You are not good enough to go to heaven in your own works. Amen. This world's going to hell because churches and religious people are being led by a bunch of self-righteous people. Let me tell you something about me. I've lied. I've cheated. I've committed fornication. I'm drunk. When I heard Christ died for sinners, I said, I qualify. Amen. And I don't have a testimony to a lost sinner if I walk around with a backward collar on, talking about how good I am compared to everybody else.
Amen. Good for you. Mm.
Amen. Paul said, who was before?
Amen.
Don't you ever forget who the pit God dug you out of. The truth about it is, ain't nobody in this church house would like to have played on the screen up here every stinking thing you've ever done. Every filthy thought you've ever had. Christ died for sinners, amen. I tell you, He didn't come to save the righteous, He came to save sinners. This church is a salvage yard for sinners. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you something. God really plowed my ground up with this. I was reading there in 1 Timothy. God says, whoa, whoa, whoa. You don't go past that word before. Paul's being honest. Paul's telling it like it is. Paul's not portraying himself as some little old Catholic priest or Mormon bishop running around or some Baptist preacher acts like he ain't never sinned before. Amen. He's not popping himself off as some Pentecostal holiness or some Nazarene who believes he's sinless perfected. Hey! I'm going to tell you something. God's going to wipe that junk off when we get to heaven. Amen. Let me tell you who saves you. Who keeps you saved. Who washes you from your sins. Who keeps you. And that's the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of you can get out and run out if y'all want to. It'll be the first time. Amen. And you can go to Liberty Faith till your nose turns green and die and go to hell. Going to Liberty Faith, homeschooling, Christian schooling, wearing your dress down to your ankles does not save you, amen.
Amen.
And I believe you ought to be dressed right. Oh, we're going to get into women's dress and women's place in church here in a few weeks. Y'all don't want to miss it. It's going to be fun.
Amen.
I'm talking this. Behold, thou desirest truth where? In the inward parts. Have you ever said, I have sinned. I did wrong.
Amen.
No one comes successfully to God trying to sneak in and slip in without honesty about who they are and what they are. A sinner, a wicked enemy of God. You need to compare yourself to Christ, not other people. God declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Get honest. Get open. Get transparent. I didn't say that you had to hang your laundry out in front of everybody to see. But don't act like you haven't sinned and that God didn't drag you out of a miry pit of garbage when He saved your wretched soul.
Amen.
Get honest. Get open. Get transparent. Quit being pharisaical and acting like that you never sinned. The greatest effect that my preaching has ever had for anybody, and let me tell you why we get calls. Because sinners can identify with preaching that does not get pharisaical. When they hear my failures, when they hear about the pit God dug me out of, it gives them hope that God can take them out of the pit they're in.
That's right. That's good.
And I'm going to tell you something about the fundamentalist movement. And when I say that, I'm talking about people that believe the Bible. If you're not careful, Satan will trap you into Phariseeism, making you think that because you have standards and you believe this and you believe that, that that is your spirituality. No! Christ and Christ alone is your spirituality.
Amen.
Let's just be honest about it. You've lied.
That's right.
Come on. Now I'm going to tell you. We're going to applaud you. If anybody here never lied, please stand. We want to applaud you. Looks to me like this church is full of a bunch of liars. They'll lie to you even. They'll tell you they're hungry and all they want somebody to pick them up.
There you go.
They'd be speaking lies as soon as they be born. Amen. Listen to me. Christ died for sinners. We've deceived. Had false motives. Cheated, hated, cussed.
Right. Amen.
I know some of you don't want anybody to know you cussed. Listen, you don't want anybody to know that you got madder and hell and cussed everybody out. You don't want anybody to know that you had a slam dunk fit at the house and you throwed and stomped and hit the walls and kicked furniture and everything else and yelled at your own family.
That's right.
You don't want anybody to know that you sold up like a possum for 3 weeks and wouldn't speak to your own family.
There you go.
It's getting quiet in here.
Amen.
Hey, we cussed. We take the Lord's name in vain. We've coveted. We've drove up and wanted somebody else's rig. We've wanted somebody else's house or car or position or possessions. We've fornicated, lusted in your mind, committed adultery in your heart, had evil thoughts about other people, jealous, envious, prideful, selfish. Judgmental. Why, some of you is even drunk liquor.
Right.
And those of you that have it are proud about it.
Yeah.
Oh, slipped that curveball by you, didn't I? Smoked, some of you do. Or have. Some of you even puffed a weed or two. Shall I stop and dismiss? Some of you even exceeded the speed limit. I see people trying to hold a straight face and look spiritual. Then some of you even are so wicked that you have not forgiven other people.
That's right.
You're so worthless and sorry and hell deserving, you haven't even forgiven other people. Now, so quit acting like you were born with a halo and a pair of wings. You were born with horns and bat wings if you got any wings on. You and I have no righteousness of our own. None. Zero. No righteousness. Only righteousness that you ever have is the righteousness of Christ imputed to you by faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. Yesterday, you say, how'd you get this message? God in divers and strange manner speaks. Amen. Susanna pulled out an old home video. Those are dangerous. Amen. I walked in there and we're on a trip to Montana, 1990, in Jim and Mary's little RV. And it's just taking, Nathan, he's narrating the story. And he's taking pictures. And do you know what? It dawned on me. I'm looking at everybody. Ben's about that high. Zach's about that high. Nathan's about that high. What's your name? Hannah. She's barely walking. And Sarah Jane is just basically in diapers. And I'm thinking, how it all changed. And you know, it's recording everything everybody's doing. It isn't missing a trick. And all of a sudden, I had the most profound thought hit my brain. If man can record my actions and show it 17, 18 years later, what I was doing, what I was saying, how I was acting, my soul, can't God Almighty play back your life at judgment? If man can record your voice, if man can record and film your actions and show it, cannot God show and tell everything you've ever thought, said, done, attitude, motive, deed, action, everything, everywhere you've ever been at?
Amen.
God is going to replay it too, by the way, to the unrepentant sinner. You mark my word right here this morning. God will show your life in front of the whole world, but more importantly, in front of Himself. He will show you why you're going to hell. That's why you need a Savior.
Amen.
To pay for your sins, to cleanse you of your sins. Your sins need to be upon Him so they're not on you at judgment. God is going to replay that scene at the bar. God's going to replay and show that lustful look. God is going to tell what was going on in your mind. God is going to show what was talked about at your table. God is going to replay what was whispered by your lips. All of it. Do you know what kills your nice testimony? Is acting like we weren't or aren't a redeemed, forgiven sinner. I believe that's doing more damage to the gospel of Jesus Christ than anything I know. Because you see, here's the honest truth about it is, we don't get this thing in balance. Now wait just a minute, hang on. Somebody says, Brother Reggie, are you saying that we shouldn't live holy and righteous in this present life? No, I didn't say that. What I said was, you need to be honest about what you were before God saved you. And you need to be honest about what you are after He saved you. But I'm telling you this much, if we're not careful, we're making people think they've got to live some kind of a sinless life before, or they can't make, and you know what most people know? Can't do it. And they know they can't. So Paul is teaching a very serious thing here. You know what the hardest thing in the world to do is get preachers getting honest about how sorry and wicked and low down they are. Brother Boyd's here. Boyd, would you help me in explain these people, preachers' troubles? We're jealous, aren't we, Boyd? Well, the great... You're not? Okay, I am. You're probably past that. But you know... But you lie a lot, okay. He got me. Preachers will get up and preach, and they won't even admit that they're jealous as a red herring over some other preacher. Yeah. And they wonder why the Holy Ghost of God ain't working through their lives. They won't even be honest about their own internal sins and struggles and battles that they're having. They get up and preach. Well, anyway, I don't want to get on my stuff, but anyway. We kill our testimony by acting like we're not, you know, forgiven, that we're not redeemed, that it's all us. We act like we're dispatched from heaven or something to minister to these little earthlings. And it kills preachers' ministers. And the Apostle Paul warned Timothy, no, Timothy, you don't hide who you were. You don't hide what God brought you out of. You always remember that pit from which you were dug. I know that we're to live holy. The Bible says, you that bear the vessels of the Lord, be ye clean. I want to say a little word right here. And I could not help this. I've got a son and daughter-in-law is fixing to have another baby. And, you know, you think you just can't help it. Then you pray the baby will be delivered safe, that Jamie will be all that. You know, you're praying for them. And the thought occurred to me, you that bear the vessels of the Lord, be clean. I want to give this to all you young married couples. Do you realize that when you mothers are carrying a baby, you're carrying a vessel of the Lord?
Yes.
Mm. Husband, do you realize when your wife's carrying that, she's carrying a vessel, and the Bible says, be clean. I want to tell you the best advice you'll ever get is live a clean and holy life as you can ever live while you're carrying that baby. I believe it. I'm telling you, boy, the Lord spoke to me on that. Good land. But you know what we need? That's a quit projecting an aura and an attitude that you were never a bad sinner. Because if you do, you are living a lie. And you cannot live a lie and expect God to work through your heart and your life as to minister to other people. Not only that, but further, listen to me. We will then begin to teach others self-righteousness rather than salvation and grace and mercy. That does not mean that we should not live a holy life. That does not mean that we should not submit and obey to the principles and precepts of the Word of God and do that which pleases the Lord. But I'm telling you something, brother. We should never project that I'm some kind of a super saint and it's too bad you're not. And we should never project that in a way that makes other people think, well, if I could only reform myself to be, if I could only quit smoking, dope, and drinking, doing this, that, and the other, and I could dress right, then I would be like those people. That's wrong. That's wrong. Let me tell you something. If we're not great sinners, we don't need a great Savior. If we were not lost, we did not need to be found. If we were not guilty, we do not need mercy. Self-righteousness destroys the entire need for the cross and Calvary and the redemptive death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You want to be effective? With sinners, exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, not yourself, and how good you're living. You learn to say with the Apostle Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. I was talking to a young lady here in church this morning who has a very good gift given to her from the Lord. And I catch myself, you know, you want to commend people about their skills and abilities and so forth. And just as quick as I did, the Lord said to me, but where did she get that gift, Reggie? And so I encouraged her to remember, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And then why boastest thou as if thou hast not received it? Everything that you and I have is given to us of the Lord.
Amen.
Preachers and workers who project everyone else in need but themselves damage the work of the cross, they do not benefit it. You say, well, I have no problem admitting I was a great sinner. Anybody like me, I don't have any problem. I don't think that's the main problem of this church. I really don't. But just in case, I'm telling you here, this church should never forget the pit from which we were dug.
Amen.
When we say that the nickname of this church is the first church of the salvage yard, I mean it exactly. Because we are redeemed by the grace of God. He said, well, I have no problem admitting that, Reggie. But what about, listen to me, wait a minute. We preached about before, now what about after? Uh-oh. Well, I have good news to tell y'all. Since I got saved, I haven't sinned but 3 times. Oh, 4, I just lied. Lord. What about after? Now, I want you to catch this. Look at your Bible, verse number 13. Who, what, was before. Now, look at the last 3 words in verse 15. What's the last 3 words in verse 15? I am chief what? He's a chief what? Sinner. Whoa, Paul. Paul, I can get it that you said who was before all this stuff. But Paul, you're saying afterward, you am? That's present tense. And by the way, this old King James Bible, right every time. Boy, that ticks me off to see that stuff in that Sunday school book, don't you? How can a guy ruin such a good book, you know? Brother, I'm going to tell you something. These words are important. And the Bible says in Psalms 12, He will preserve His words, plural words. Paul said, who was before. So how many would agree with that? Before you got saved is a vile, filthy, hell-deserving sinner. Amen. All right? Now what are you?
Chief sinner.
Chief of sinner. By the grace of God, redeemed. You need to get a hold of this. What about after? We know what we were before. Now before might have been like the Apostle Paul said, maybe in ignorance, unbelief, so forth, receive mercy. But what are you now? Now get ready. Because this literally chokes the religious crowd. This doctrine I'm preaching right chokes the religious crowd. You know what the religious crowd does? They redefine sin. Well, when I got mad, it was righteous indignation. When I blew my top at the house and cussed, it was just an expression of my, I don't know what. And when, and they rename everything. You listened? Wait a minute. Don't blame the queers for renaming sodomy gay. They learned how to do it from the church. Sins become shortcomings. We're making biscuits now. It was a little failure. Yeah. But it wasn't sin.
No.
Well, it wasn't that bad a sin. I get so tickled. About once every 9 or 10 months, somebody will come up to me and say, Kelly, you're at that eternal security crowd, once in Greece, always in Greece, aren't you? That's how they come at you. I said, no, not. Oh, yeah, you are. I've heard you preach. I said, no, you haven't. You never heard me use that terminology. I don't use the terminology eternal security. I use eternal life. That's what the Bible says. The Bible calls it everlasting life, eternal life. And I sure don't say once in grace, always in grace. And I don't even use the phrase once in grace, always in grace. I just believe that God don't lie. And God said He gave me eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son. He said, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You know, I just believe the Bible, that's all. All right? Now, and so they say, well, you don't believe in backsliding, do you, Kelly? I say, yes, I do. In fact, I practice it. Well, if you can backslide, you'd be lost. I said, okay, if you can be lost and you backslide, how far back I'll backslide until you're lost? From the Bible. I don't want to hear your story. Show me in the Bible how far you backslide until you're lost. Well, I don't know, but you can. God just leaves you. Show me in the Bible. Yeah, well, no, show me in the Bible. Well, no, show me in the Bible.
Right.
And about 5 times of that, well, I'll give you one. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never, never, never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Right.
God, I have to be a liar to leave you.
Right.
If you're redeemed. Are you listening to me? If you're redeemed. If you're not redeemed, you ain't got Him already. But if you're born again of the Spirit of God, and by the way, the Spirit itself will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Nobody in the world will have to tell you. God will tell you.
Amen.
And He'll tell you through His Word. All right? Well, how far you go to get back? Well, I can tell you this much. You can't drink and be a Christian. I'll say this. Christian, you sure ought not drink, and I'd try to preach you lost. I think drinking sorry low down, don't you?
Amen.
I think more people die over grunts and drinking than is. Well, I think liquor's worse than drugs in the United States. But they ain't got it taxed yet.
Yeah.
So that's why it's not so bad. I think if you drink, you're sorry. Low down, you ought to get on this altar and repent of it this morning. I'm talking about social drinking. I'm talking about sipping. It's nasty. It's filthy. It breaks up homes. It ruins lives. Gets women raped. Ruins lives. You ought not drink. Sorry, low down things, sit there and act righteous. You ought not spit chew in the back either. B.R. Lincoln said, a man asked him, you know, he said, can a man chew tobacco and still go to heaven? He said, you betcha, but you'll have to go down to hell to spit. You don't go to heaven by quitting drinking and quitting smoking, but you ought not do it. You ought not chew. You ought not run around girls that do. Now here's what happens. Listen to me. Before we drunk, fornicated, cussed, smoked, dope, and did all that junk. Partied and caroused. We got saved. God give us grace to quit that junk. Now we're over here after. Now we gossip. And that's not as bad as drinking. Where's that spittoon? Van, it's right underneath your seat. Would you give me that spittoon? It's right underneath there. We used to drink and cuss and smoke and dope and run around with everybody that does. But I'll tell you what, since we got saved, we don't run around with that crowd now. We just get over here and talk about how sorry and low down they are. We run down the brethren. When we got mad over there, that was a terrible sin. We get mad now. Well, I'll tell you what, you know what I mean. I'm still human. Yeah, you're still human. You're still wicked. You are a sinner. Listen, hear what? You were a sinner here. You are a sinner here. I know that upsets. I know that chokes the religious crowd, but it's too bad. You are saved by grace right here. And you ought to do a lot less sinning. But God's going to work on you. You see, it's those externals. You can see that real clearly. But you can't see how envy is rotting your bones out. You can't see how being jealous is killing you. It's cruel as the grave. He said, I'm chief of sinners. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. If the Apostle Paul said after he got saved in present tense, I am chief of sinners, where in the world does that put Reg Kelly? I've said this for years. That's the only verse in the Bible I've had a hard time with. Because I can't see the Apostle Paul being the chief of sinners. I can see Reg Kelly being the chief of sinners. I ain't going to be able to tell God nothing when I get to heaven except, God, I'm here by the mercy of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. And I'm telling you, religion is killing this world. Self-righteousness and thinking we're something when we're nothing, being deceived of ourselves, we are nothing in this world. Oh, but after now, we gossip and we gripe. And we murmur and we complain. Hey, hey! The children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, went under the blood! Right? The blood of the Lamb, redeemed, crossed through the Red Sea, baptized by the Red Sea, on the other side, and said, we want to go back to Egypt where the leeks and others go, oh. Murmuring, griping, complaining. And God sent serpents in among them. You wonder why sometimes you're getting stung? Maybe you ought to quit your griping. Maybe you ought to start saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For saving my soul. Start thanking God for how good you got it. Amen. Amen. But we don't see that griping and murmuring as bad as them folks that are spitting in them cans. Did you know he chews tobacco? Did you know he sips wine? White wine out of California. Did you know? Yeah, I know. And you gripe. And you complain. And you sew up at the house. You mean I've got him trained? Jerry Clark said to your boy, said, somebody shoot up in here amongst us. One of us got to have some relief. Oh, no. You defile folks. That ain't near as bad as them dope heads. That was before. You mean as a junkyard dog. Rawr, 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 rawr. Fodger. Rawr, 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 rawr. Straighten up. He's used to that. It didn't even faze him, amen. Sister Connie, she acts so nice at church. Rawr, 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 rawr. Rawr, rawr. Amen. Just well been. Just ask my kids. I've been a little sweet angel daddy ever since they know me. I have been so good that I've been on my way to Liberty Faith Church to preach. And we had in such a fit and time, I've had to stop the car, turn around, go back to the house. You ever been there? Oh, but them folks over yonder, I tell you what. That cigarette smoking bunch. Whoa, 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 whoa. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. That means everybody but your family and those you know real good. We chew them out. We're like dogs. Better keep your distance. If God didn't have a chain on us, they don't tell him what we'd do. We've been so godly that we've turned our face to the wall many a night and said, don't touch me. That's godliness. That's adorned with godliness. We've been so loving that we forgot to get our wife a Valentine card. I did that one because I knew I was preaching on it. Saved people give more false justification for their sins than the lost do. Christians save people, redeem people, justified people, do something. It's called S-I-N. Now here's your problem. You won't admit it. Oh, because I do those things after I'm saved, it must not be sin anymore because that make me look bad, look like a hypocrite. You are a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite when we do wrong and profess one thing. Now see what's going to happen. Now you're, some of you is down in the grave, 7 feet right, and you're reaching for the top of the grave. You're so low right now while I'm preaching. I'm going to drive you down there to pretty soon you'll lose hope in Jesus. I'm trying to strip you of all your self-righteousness until you ain't got nobody to look to but Jesus. Amen. And then you're going to get happy. You ain't never going to be happy as long as you're clothed in your own rags of righteousness. You're never going to know joy. You know why? Some of you can't have a smile and can't get up here. You ain't never going to get up here and sing. You know why? Till you get done with your self-righteousness. Because you ain't got no song.
There you go.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I'm glad God sent you down here this morning to help me out. You won't even know the song that God can put in your heart until you're done with your self-righteousness. Until you're willing to go say, honey, I tell you what, I've been acting like a stinking, blow-down, starry dog, and I need you to forgive me. My attitude ain't been right. Until you walk up to Donnie after you, Donnie, I didn't talk to you right. Or Elijah, I'm sorry. And Elijah, I need you to forgive me. I was right, Elijah, but I was right in the wrong way. Now that's how it happens to me. I'm always right, it's just I'm right in the wrong way. With the wrong attitude. 3 o'clock yet? Somebody let me know when 3 o'clock gets here. Somebody says, I will while I wave on the way out. 1 John 1:8. Anybody know it? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And he is not talking to the lost crowd in that epistle. He is talking to my little children, those who've been born into the family of God. Amen. Katie, have you found out how sorry to let Clayton is yet? Boy, I got her magic back. We won't make you tell in front of the whole church. Clayton would. No, I'm going to be honest with you. You know what? God will let you discover yourself. He'll give you enough grace to be honest and let you discover yourself. If we Christians would quit rationalizing our sins, maybe the lost would quit rationalizing their sins. Maybe our loved ones would quit rationalizing their sins and get saved if we explained to them and made clear to them and didn't project an attitude of self-righteousness that I am what I am by the grace of God. Do you know a sin? I've asked people this when they'll talk to me about that. I say, do you know a preacher that doesn't sin? They'll go, well, no. I said, do you mean to tell me preachers sin? Then I asked them, do you believe I sin? Yeah. I say, all right. Now you're starting to understand salvation. Am I saying today that we have a license of sin? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We're talking about sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit that gives us the grace, the desire, and the power to say, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to talk that way to my wife anymore. I don't want to be that way to my kids anymore. Amen. I don't want to have that attitude anymore. God, help me. And God will humble you because He only gives grace to the humble. If we would be honest about our sins as Christians, maybe they would be honest about their sin concerning salvation. In verse 13, Paul tells us what he was. In verse 15, he tells us what he is. Would the God... Why could God use Paul so much? Because he had an honest heart about his own person. That's why God said, behold, thou desirest truth in inward parts. Without honesty of heart, God cannot, will not use you. You're never going to be free from those binding bondages of sins that's robbing you of joy till you get honest with God and yourself. Confess it, deal with them, and drag them out. You remember back in old Ronnie Simpson used to preach no message, Five Kings in a Cave. Anybody ever heard it? Five Kings in a Cave. So back in the book of Samuel. Remember old Joshua, there's five of them kings that were conquering the land. Watch, which is a type of your soul. They were conquering the land. There's five kings. The Philistines went down and hid in this cave. Well, they just blocked them up for right then, and they went ahead and fought them to come back. That's what we do sometimes. We got five kings, and we got sins in a cave in our heart. We ain't dealing with it right now. But they came back, and old Samuel come down there and told him, he said, you go in that cave, and you drag them kings out of there. And he said, you throw them on the ground. He said, you put your foot on their neck. And he said, you kill them, and don't you have any mercy on them. Are you listening to me? One of the greatest truths in the Bible right there. Let me tell you a little something about your preacher. I'm going to tell you, some of you quit church over this today. I cannot watch junk without it affecting me. I cannot watch junk without it affecting me. I like to watch news. I like to watch documentaries, history. I like to watch that stuff. But you know what I found out? That I have to wade through so much of the devil's sewage to get to something. It ain't worth it. And I have over the years battled back and forth. You know, a lot of times we didn't have TV. Sometimes we did. Right now we watch movies. I love a good movie. I'll tell you what you ought to watch. What's that Highest Mountain, that movie, Ben? Go Tell on the Mountain or something. It's about a preacher. It's a good movie. We watched Rachel and the Stranger. Made 1948. You're talking about a good movie. I like a good movie. But I'm going to tell you something. If I watch TV and they drag me through those commercials, it will poison my spirit, poison my mind. I will tell you, that, you know what they sell on everything they sell? What they sell everything with? Anybody know? Naked women. Sensual naked women. Now, I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I'm full-blooded. I'm in raw-bone American boy. All right? If you tell me that you can watch that junk and it don't affect you, then you must be a queer.
Give the devil
no place. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. When you shut that thing off, A guy came up to me yesterday. Obama this and Obama that. Obama this and Obama nation that. And Obama this. I said, I don't know what's going on. I don't like it. But if I ain't listening to it, everything's all right in my Father's house. And I have just been having a blast. I ain't got all that junk on my mind. If I don't see it, I ain't tempted with it. You know what I mean to tell you? You know when David got tempted? When he saw her. And I'm going to tell you. Hey, you boys, a little secret. You grown men, a little secret. If sensuality and nakedness can get David, it can get you. Many strong men have been slain by her. You need to drag them out. Put your foot on them. Kill them. If that means, you listen to me, you say, man, I can't quit drinking. Oh, you can. Yeah, you can. We can tie you to a tree for about 6 months. Yeah, it is possible to quit drinking. When your quitter gets fixed real good, you'll quit drinking. There is more power of the grace of God than you ever dream about. Your wanter's not fixed is the trouble. Don't redefine sin or rename sin. Slay sin. What time is it, somebody? 5 to 12? Is it 5 to 12? What time is it? I'm honest with you. It's 12 straight up. Oh! Amen. I thought you were the pretty nice guy, and I'm done with you as of right now. Well, I got a question to ask you. Is it better for me to serve God or to obey God? Listen! Is it better for me to serve the Lord or to obey the Lord? Do what? How many thinks it's better to serve the Lord? Raise your hand. How many thinks it's better to obey the Lord than it is to serve the Lord? Raise your hand. The Bible says it is better to obey than to sacrifice. It's better to obey than to serve. But now listen. Do you mean to tell me, Daddy, that well, since I'm a preacher and I serve the Lord, that means, you mean I can't treat my wife like a dog? I mean, doesn't my preaching make up for the difference? Well, I mean, I try to lead people to Jesus. You mean, doesn't that mean I can get madder than three dogs and cuss and have a fit when I want to at the house? Well, I'm serving the Lord. Looks like that'd count for something. Well, I mean, I'm serving the Lord. I mean, a little pornography wouldn't hurt, surely. I mean, you know, I ought to be able to have a little bit of fun in this world. I mean, I am serving the Lord. I mean, I'm faithful to attend Liberty Faith. Try to come three services a week. Surely I can get by cheating on my income tax a little bit. I don't have to turn it all into it. Well, if I'm serving the Lord and I'm working for God, I've exhausted myself serving the Lord. Surely I can be mad and blow my top every once in a while. Now, wait a minute. Y'all just said by your own testimony that it's better to obey the Lord than it is to serve the Lord. And I'm going to go home on this one. You better get your priorities straightened out. Everybody look up here just a second. I was going to give an invitation, going to have the parents come. I'm about halfway through my message. But the Holy Ghost said, stop it right now. I've done what I want to do. I want you to do this. I want you to thank God in your soul and your spirit that you're not what you were before. but that you're only by the grace of God what you am now. And if you have harbored any self-righteousness, I want you to ask God to forgive you of it right now. If you're here today and you're lost and unsaved, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be around the front up here. If you want to be saved, I can show you in just a few moments from the Bible how to be saved. I'll tell you right now. You know you're a sinner, a guilty sinner before God. You believe Jesus Christ died for you on the cross of Calvary, rose from the dead on the third day. If you repent of your sin and come to God and cry out for mercy, God will save you. There's a prayer in the Bible, God be merciful to me, a sinner. God will save you. But I'll be here if you want to talk to me. Maybe there's some barriers, some things that you just can't seem to get by. I'll be here for just a few moments. A few minutes. Nobody comes? Well, that's all right. I want you to do what God wants you to do. But those of you who are regular at this church, I want you to get honest with God. Let's let God purge all self-righteousness and pride out of this church. I'm willing. Are you? I'll tell you what, the most freeing thing in the world is just be who you really are. No pretense, no fake, no junk. You're just who you are. Now tonight, I want you to come up out here and I want us to have a wonderful, wonderful time in our love banquet. Amen? Let me tell you what this is about tonight. This ain't about pot or about best roast in town and shrimp and mashed potatoes and brown gravy and Swan's ice cream. This is a time tonight to look at each other and what God has wrought in our midst and to be so thankful for each other and to look at people and say, you know what, by the grace of God, I love them. They're my brother and sister in Christ. God has placed me in this body with them. And even though I'm out and I like everything about them and they probably don't like everything about me, we're in the harness together and I'm going to love them. How many knows how you can know if you've passed from death unto life? Because of love the brethren. We know that we've passed from death into life because we love the brethren. And so we're going to take what the world calls Valentine's Day, and we're going to have a love feast tonight. And I want you to come. You leave every old problem you've got out there by the car when you get out. Tell the devil to watch over it while you're in church tonight, will you? He will, I promise you. And you come in and let's have a wonderful time. We're going to have some surprise specials. Now, I might, I am not saying sure. Sing the song that I won Karen's heart with. I might sing it. No promises. The other thing about it is, I might call on you to come up and sing a song. I'm thinking about Paul and Ramona right now. Paul, come on anyway. I won't call on you, okay? I promise that. But you know what? I would encourage this night. Some of you men ought to come up to the mic. Joel, we're going to have the mic. Okay. There are some of you men come up to the mic tonight and tell us why you have the best wife in the world. Amen? So if I call on you for that, you can sure do that. I will make no promises to nobody about that. I love you. God loves you. I hope you love each other. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. Lord, so thankful for what you brought us out of, that we're able to say who was before. I pray, God, that now we can say what we are after. That is something different by the grace of God. That it's a work in progress, Lord, that you're sanctifying us and conforming us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. But my Father, tonight I pray one thing, that in this body of believers there'll be a humility and an honesty about who we were and who we are. And that we will never, Lord, try to cover ourselves with a cloak of self-righteousness and hide. But Lord, that we would willingly walk into the light of your truth and the light of your love and let you expose us for who we really are. Not to condemn us, but to change us, to conform us to the image of your Son. Lord, may we never shy away from the light of your Word, from letting you reveal to us who we really are. And may, Father, especially, I pray right now for this congregation that when you've shown us who and what we are, that we will never be driven to despair, but that we will be driven to the cross, to that eternal hope and surety of Jesus Christ, that He is our sin bearer, that He is our sacrifice, that He is our Savior, and our entire soul and destiny and eternity hangs upon His finished work at the cross. And my Father, it's in His sweet and holy blessed name we pray these things, and with the knowledge, Lord, of answered prayer, amen and amen.